Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry, for that singing, and thank you for the tremendous preaching of the Word tonight. That did my heart good. Last night, I was sitting there listening to Brother Terry preach, and I thought, good night. He's all over a little bit what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. And tonight, man, I mean to tell you, he was all over it. So you're getting a double dose tonight, amen? And I'm going to a different passage, but you're going to be hearing some things that you've already heard, maybe a little bit different way, amen? I'm glad to be here tonight, and looking forward to what God has for us. Meeting ain't over yet, amen? A couple people thought it was, and they left. And I thought, well, surely they couldn't have left between services on account of the preaching. And then I realized it was right about the time Pastor said we're having ice cream. So they must not like ice cream, so they must not have been good Baptists. That's all I could figure, Pastor. I don't know. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Turn your Bible tonight to 2 Kings, if you would, please. Second Kings, and we're going to go to chapter 2. Man, you got preached at tonight. Amen. Press on. Amen. That was some good preaching. Amen. It reminds me of a story I heard one time back in an old hick town. There was three preachers that went to fussing between themselves and over who was the best of the three preachers. And there was an old Methodist preacher, Presbyterian preacher, and then lo and behold, an old Baptist preacher. And they were arguing who was the best of the out of the three, the best preachers. And they got to talking amongst themselves, and the Methodist preacher said, well, surely, I mean, there's no doubt, I don't think in anybody's mind, I would, of course, be the best preacher. I mean, I'm a Methodist preacher. And he said, you can't forget the work that Wesley did. I mean, to tell you what, I mean, what tremendous testimony for the Methodist Church, you know. And surely I can out-preach a Presbyterian preacher, a Baptist preacher. Well, then the Presbyterian preacher said, well, hold on a second, fellas. He said, they're not so quick with your judgment there. He said, I'm Presbyterian. He said, Billy Sunday, I mean, he was a Presbyterian. Over a million walked the sawdust trail in his campaign for revival. And then the Baptist preacher said, well, fellas, I got one better than that for all of you. He said, I'm Baptist, of course, as you know. And he said, Jesus Christ himself testified no greater man was ever born a woman than John the Baptist. So when it comes to preaching, amen, you guys might just lay it down right now. And they were at each other's throats over this. Well, finally they devised a plan that they would resolve this once and for all. And they went out back to one of the local farms there, and they found themselves an old polecat, amen, got him a skunk. And they went out to the old corn crib, an old empty corn crib out back of the barn. They got that door open, and somebody got that old skunk by the tail so he's off his feet, couldn't spray. And they spun him around a few times. Now, if you're an animal lover, just close your ears, amen. They spun him around like that, and they winged him in that old corn crib and thud up against the wall of that corn crib. He hit it, and they slammed the door. And they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. Whoever can go in that old corn crib and preach the longest, that man is definitely the best of the three preachers. So the old Methodist preacher, he said, well, I'll go in first, boys. He said, I'll probably be able to end this right off the bat, you know. So that old Methodist preacher went in there, and he commenced to delivering his message. Point number one, and he began to deliver the message, and he began to preach, and if you want to call that 1 minute and 2 minutes, and man, I mean, that went to 3 minutes and 4 minutes and 5 minutes. And boy, about the time 6 minutes, that old Methodist preacher, that door swung open and he come out there, that old corn crib, he said, woo! He said, I got to get out of here. He said, man, I can't take no more of that. And boy, that old Baptist preacher and that old Presbyterian were standing out there and thought, oh man, it just stinks to the highest of the heavens out here. And finally the Presbyterian preacher said, well, I'll go in next, you know. And he went in there and he commenced to delivering his address, you know. And that Methodist preacher was standing out there, that Baptist, and oh man, I mean, it just reeks a bit. And that guy went in there and he preached for 4 minutes and five and six. And there it was, 7 minutes. He beat the Methodist preacher 8 minutes and 9 minutes. Boy, 10 minutes, that old door, that corn crib swung open, and boy, I tell you, that old Presbyterian preacher came out and said, "Woo!" He said, "Man, I'm sorry, fellas, because I got to get out of here. I can't take any more of that." And boy, that old Baptist preacher, he went in there and he closed the door to that old corn crib. And boy, he got his text and he began to preach, amen. Man, I mean, he was preaching a minute and 2 minutes and three, now four. Four turned to five, and 6 minutes turned to seven and 8 minutes, and they were all looking to see who was going to win. 9 minutes, now 10 and 11 and 12, and they were just shaking their heads, standing out there thinking, "Good night. I can't believe it. He's in there with that skunk. He's still going." Amen. 12 minutes turned to 15, turned to 20, now 30 minutes, amen. 35 and 40 minutes. And all of a sudden he stopped and they thought, "Good night, he's finally done." They heard him suck some wind, amen. And he started laying it out, amen. 50 minutes, amen. 55. I mean, he was preaching now, amen. Second wind and unction from on high. An hour and 5 minutes, an hour and 10, and he showed no signs of stopping. All of a sudden, that old corn crib door swung open. That old skunk come waddling out and said, "Whew, I got to get out of here. I can't take no more of that." Amen. Well, amen. I don't know how much more you can handle, amen, but we're going to go at it tonight. Stand to your feet, if you would, please. 2 Kings chapter 2, amen. The Bible says in chapter 2 of 2 Kings in verse 1 now, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel.' And Elisha said unto him, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?' And he said, 'Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.' And Elisha said unto him, 'Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?' And he answered, 'Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.' And Elisha said unto him, 'Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan.' And he said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And they two went on." I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled this, "And the two went on." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Oh God, in heaven, I believe tonight that there are men and women out and about tonight in this congregation. There are those in our midst tonight that may seem a little bit crippled up, Lord, or maybe wounded tonight in the battle. And Lord, some of them may have grown weary tonight, and some of them may have grown faint tonight. Lord, I pray that you might find them at the close of this service, faint yet pursuing, Lord. And I pray that in Jesus' name, you would take the work of the Lord here at First Baptist Church. And oh God, that people tonight would recommit. Oh God, I pray that when this service ends tonight, this altar would be filled up with people with a renewed purpose and a renewed vision to just not quit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I was reading through this passage some time ago in my devotions, and I came across this text that I just got done reading. And something captured my attention. I thought, hey, there is something to this. Insomuch that Elisha, when he looked at Elijah, found a reason to be in pursuit. Amen. When Elisha looked at Elijah, there was something that he liked. There was something that he saw. There was something that he noticed. And he decided that whatever it was that Elisha had, amen, or Elijah had, he wanted, amen. And I began to look this over and I said, Lord, what was it? Well, maybe Elijah was just a handsome feller. I don't know. Maybe he was one of those guys that was so good looking, amen, that everybody liked to be around him. Amen. You remember when you were in high school? There was always the good-looking guys and the good-looking girls, amen. And us ugly ones, we always wanted to be around those ones that were more attractive, amen. Because we thought that would gain us a little popularity. I don't know, maybe that was it. And, it's just like that still, you know. In high school, you got the guys that, you know, they're good looking and they're good on the court, amen, and good in the soccer field, and they're the good people in athletics and the sports heroes, you know. And you always find, you know, the seventh grade, when you're in seventh grade, I always said seventh graders, you're a nerd when you're in seventh grade, amen. And we don't have any seventh graders here tonight, right? I don't want to offend, amen, but you just can't help it. It's one of those things. I mean, when you're in seventh grade, you're just a nerd. There's nothing you can do about it. And so you try to hang out with the upperclassmen because they sort of got it together, or so you think, amen. But maybe Elisha was like, well, Elijah's got it all together, and he's maybe well-liked, but I don't really think that was it. Maybe he was popular, but I don't really think that was it based on what I've seen in the scriptures. I don't know, maybe Elijah had a big old money bag of gold around his waist, amen. Elisha thought, well, if I hang around long enough, amen, I might get some of that. And I was looking at it, and I said, Lord, what was it? There was something about Elijah that Elisha saw. And when Elisha looked at Elijah, he said, I want what he's got. Amen. And I began to look over the text here, and God showed me these things, and I want to give them to you tonight. I believe there are several things that Elisha saw when he looked at Elijah. First of all, I want you to consider this. Amen. I want you to consider what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19. Flip back a few pages with me. In 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says this. First Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. The word of the Lord says this, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, verse 10. And I only am left. They seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Now watch this. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here? You said, Brother Curlin, what was going on? I'm going to tell you what was going on. Elijah was in the presence of God. And when Elisha looked at Elijah, Elisha said, there's a man who knows what it is to be in the presence of God. I want that. Hey, let me ask you a question tonight. Brother Perry hit on this a little earlier. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you know what it is to be in the presence of God tonight? Hey, I'm asking you. If you said, well, yes, Brother Curlin, I go to prayer. I come to church. Hey, I'm not asking you that tonight. I'm asking you tonight, brother. Hey, sister. Hey, child of God tonight. Do you know what it is to be in the presence of God? I remember times in my life that I was alone in my prayer closet, amen. And by the way, I knew God was hearing my prayers. I knew that as I made my requisitions before the Lord, I knew that He had inclined His ear unto my prayers and supplications. And I knew that He was there. But then all of a sudden, God moved in. I'm talking about a time that to me is so special. And a time that to me is so holy that I'm not even going to reveal some of the details. I'm talking about a time when God just shows up, amen. And listen to me, the Lord is so thick you can feel it in the air, amen. We don't operate by our feelings, but I've been there when the presence of God was so mighty and so powerful. I'm not talking about preaching time, amen. I'm talking about prayer time. I'm telling you there have been times in my life when God moved in, nobody had to tell me. I knew that God was there. Amen. Do you know what that's like tonight? We have this mentality in our Christian life tonight. We've got this idea tonight that in regard to the presence of God, well, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, but I mean an awesome anointing of the presence of God is only for preachers. Where'd you find that from? I don't know what for Bible you're reading tonight, but it ain't my Bible, amen. It's a different anointing, amen, that I received to preach the Word of God. But let me tell you something tonight. If you're saved tonight, I mean, you can come to know what it is to have the presence of God, amen, all about you. The sad truth is tonight, I believe this with all of my heart, based on some people I've talked to, a little bit of sermon, I believe that there's a lot of Christians who have never really known what it's like to have the presence of God move in on them. They go through their prayer life and they go through the motions of being a Christian, come to the church, do all these things. But I'm talking about a time when you've been on your face before God, and I'm telling you what, when God moves in, it just stifles you. I mean, hey, listen, I've been praying aloud and all of a sudden the presence of God, I mean, it just stopped me dead in my tracks, amen. And I knew that Almighty God had showed up in an unusual way. Have you ever come to know what that's like? By the way, can I just help you to understand something tonight? If you're in your prayer life, if you're looking for the presence of God, it doesn't come with, now I lay me down to sleep, amen. I'm just trying to help you to understand this tonight. I believe that Christians today, many Christians today, have never had an experience where they know the presence of God swept in. Hey, listen, it's missing in our church services today. I'm talking about a time when, I mean, it just gets quiet. God showed up. I was preaching a meeting in the fall last year. Brother Terry wasn't even 10 minutes into the message. And I stopped. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I knew what was going on. God showed up. I stopped. I said all that I was going to say. Because I'm telling you, I just stopped and I knew. I said, man, God is here. He showed up and you just know He showed up. But you know what I'm talking about. Man, I mean, people just started getting up out of those seats. Come to the altar. I hadn't had nobody else preach here. There was nobody left. I want to preach to the pews, amen. But I didn't need to say anything else. I said, all I need to say, we got revival. See, what happened, Brother Greg? The presence of God moved in. You look at what happened to Elijah. The Bible said He took that old mantle in it and He wrapped it over His face. The presence of God was felt. Amen. Hey, listen, you'll hear me preaching against putting trust in our feelings today. We better be very careful putting trust in. We've gotten into trouble today in religion, if you will, because we put our trust in feelings. But I'll tell you what, I've been around when God showed up, amen, and it was so thick you could feel the presence of God. I'm sad to say today that so many Christians have never come to experience that kind of relationship with God. They've never come to know what it's like. But Elisha looked at Elijah. He said, there's a man who knows what it is to be in the presence of God. I'm not just going to be content to know that the man of God is in the presence of God. Elisha said, I want that. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, and this is one of the problems in the church houses today, as far as I can tell, when I come into churches, I see a lot of Christians, amen. We're singing songs like Power in the Blood, amen. I'll be standing saying, there is power, power, wonder-working power. And I'm looking across and some of their... I'm thinking, good night, what happened to them, amen. You know what's going on today? And some people ain't saying, but one of the biggest problems is, hey, listen, the devil's crept in and he stole your joy. He stole your amens. Hello? Hey, he stole your amens. What? Hey, remember when you used to say amen? No, remember when you used to shout amen? Remember when the church was alive? Good night, we're having tent meeting. There hadn't been near enough amen in this week. This is a tent meeting, amen. People ought to be saying amen, hallelujah. And guess what? When your pastor takes the pulpit Sunday morning, you ought to say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So what's happened? We come to church and the devil has stole our joy. Say, how do we get it back? Well, I'm talking about the presence of God tonight. In that presence is fullness of what? Amen. You say, Brother Carlin, why do we lose our joy? Because we're not in the presence of God. Amen. You say, well, I'm still walking on. Amen. You walked on. Amen. But you walked on in a different direction than God is. You need to get back tonight. Are you listening, sister? You need to get back tonight. Brother, you need to get back tonight to know what it is to be in the presence of Almighty God. There's a second thing I want you to see tonight. I believe that when Elisha looked at Elijah, he saw a man who knew what it was to be in the presence of God. And he was in pursuit of the presence of God. Secondly, 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter 18 tonight. In verse 46, one simple phrase, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. I believe that when Elisha looked at Elijah, he saw a man who knew what it was to be in the presence of God. But when Elisha looked at Elijah, he saw a man who knew what it was to have the power of God on him. Hey, just as sure as the presence of God is not limited or restricted to preachers, the power of God is not on reservation for those men who preach the Word. Hello? Hey, the power of God is available tonight for every blood-bought child of God. If you're here tonight and you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, I want you to know tonight that the power of God is available for you. You say, Brother Carlin, what in the world do I need it for? I'm not going to preach. You need it. Just like you need to be in the presence of God. Get your joy back tonight, amen. I like smiling Christians. Some of y'all smile a little bit too much. It makes me wonder what you've been up to tonight. But I like smiling Christians. Amen. And I like Christians that have the power of God on them. Let me ask you a question tonight. Would others look at you and point their fingers and say, she's got the power of God on her. He's got the power of God on him. Would your spouse look at you and say, hey, she's got the power of God. He's got the power of God. Would your children look at you tonight, Mom, Dad, and say, my parents have the power of God on them? Would your parents look at you tonight, young person, and say, hey, my children got the power of God? You say, well, that's not going to happen. They're just kids. Hey, hogwash on that. Event. Even a child is known by his doings. Let his work be pure and whether it be right, the Bible says. Young people, you need the power of God. Amen. Young man, how old are you? Right here in the red sweater. He's not sure. How old are you? Huh? Five? All right. Nine? He's 9 years old. You know what? Get this now. Hey, you better get this. Get it. Let it stick in your craw tonight. We got 9-year-olds in this room. We got some of these guys younger than that. How old are you? Okay, well, you're older than that. Amen. This 9-year-old and this 10-year-old... By the way, you better listen up and listen up good. This 9-year-old and this 10-year-old can reach people that I can't reach. Did you hear that tonight? You say you got to be kidding me, Brother Curley. Listen, if they get the power of God on them, amen, they can reach them that I can't reach. There's people that I can reach that you can't reach, people you can reach that I can't reach. But we need the power of God to do it tonight. Church, listen, there is a world outside that needs to hear the truth of God. Easton is dying and going to hell. First Baptist Church is the answer if you'll get the power of God on you. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that you need to get on your face before God. Get in His presence tonight. And then beg and plead and pray down the almighty power of God. There are souls to be won. We'll not do it in the flesh tonight. Amen. Say, well, what else do I need the power of God for? I'm glad you asked that question because I'm fixing to tell you. Amen. Help me. Hey, help me. Just stay with me now. Praise the Lord for the cool weather. We've been praying all week for it. God still answers prayer. Amen. You need the power of God on you tonight to help you with your marriage. Hello? Say, my marriage is okay. God doesn't want it to be okay. Huh? He wants it to be more than that. So when my marriage is good, God doesn't want it to be good. Say, good. Then God has it just the way He wants it. Amen. No. You know what? Sometimes God wants us to forsake those things which are good for those things which are great. Hey, I believe that the ultimate plan that God has is for our marriages tonight to go from good to great. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, the only way that's going to happen is if you get the power of God on you tonight. When both you and your spouse are under the power of Almighty God, watch this. Things will work. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God ain't going to take one of you one way and another the other way. And that's why we got problems in our marriages today. You need the power of God tonight to help you to get along with your spouse. Amen. You need the power of God tonight to help you to raise those kids. Amen. You need the power of God tonight to help you to be obedient to your parents. You need the power of God tonight to help you in the workplace. You need the power of God tonight to help you to fulfill your responsibilities here in your local New Testament church. I'm trying to tell you tonight that you need the power of God. Amen. And old Elisha looked at Elijah and he said, there's a man who knows what it is to be in the presence of God. I want that. There's a man who knows what it is to have the power of God on him. I want that too. And Elisha was in pursuit of the presence of God. Secondly, he was in pursuit of the power of God. 1 Samuel 22 records these words in verse 33. God is my strength and my power. Amen and amen. Get the power of God tonight. Amen. There's a third thing I want you to see tonight in this message, and the two went on. I believe that Elisha was in pursuit of the presence of God. I believe he was in pursuit of the power of God. But I want you to notice now in 1 Kings 19 again, beginning in verse 14, we left off here a little while ago. 1 Kings 19 and verse 14, the Bible says this, and he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Watch this now. The Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Watch this now. God gave the instructions to the man of God. And verse 17 says, and it shall come to pass, let him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now get this, verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Doesn't say he left the oxen and he decided to mosey on over. Amen. Bible said that Elisha left the oxen and he ran unto Elijah. You say, why do you reckon he did that, Brother Curlin? Because he was not only in pursuit of the presence of God, he was in pursuit of the presence of God, in pursuit of the power of God. But get this now, he was in pursuit of the purpose of God. Amen. You see, God went and told Elijah what the purpose of God was for Elisha. Did you get that? The man of God was given specific instructions by God as to what the purpose would be for Elisha. Can I tell you something tonight? Hey, no pastor is God, and no pastor has ever been right all of the time, but he still has a unique anointing and a high calling and a holy calling of God. Parents, you are enacting in a foolish way if you let your kids graduate from high school, go off to college, or go off and get a job without counsel from the man of God. Every single child that grows up, and every single one of you young people that gets close to graduation, you ought to have a personal, private consultation with the man of God in regards to the will of God for the future of your life and the purpose of God for your life. Amen. Say why? Because he's the man of God. Amen. I'm trying to help you to spare you from some heartache and taking some wrong turns. Amen. Hey, listen, your pastor is given a unique anointing from God. He's got wisdom and discretion. Amen. And you would be enacting in a foolish manner not to seek his counsel. And we find this passage here unique because Elijah is informed by God what the will of God is for Elijah. And when Elisha recognizes that Elijah knows the purpose of God, he doesn't dilly-dally around. He doesn't fiddle around. The Bible said he left what he was doing and he ran after. You say, what was he doing? He was in pursuit of the purpose of God. I've come to this conclusion, and I'll guarantee you I'm pretty accurate in this, and I'm not going to put an exact figure on it, but I'm sure this 75 to 80% of Christians in independent Baptist and fundamental Bible preaching churches, they do not know what the purpose of God is for their life. I said 75 to 80%. Well, praise the Lord, Brother Kern. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know what the purpose of God is for my life. It's to come to church and with my Bible, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and put my tithes in the offering plate, and that's what the purpose of God is for my life. Hey, listen, that is one of the things that God wants you to do, but that doesn't tell me that you really know what the purpose of God is for your life. I'm telling you that every Christian ought to be doing that, but for every child of God, God has a unique purpose for you that He doesn't have for me or the person sitting beside you. Amen. We got Christians today filling up churches, and they're just sort of going through the motions like a bunch of robots. I come to church, I read my Bible, I do this. But what about the purpose of God? God, hey, listen, you're saved tonight. God has a ministry for you, and God has a purpose for you. Do you know what it is? Oh, yes, I do. Then let me ask you a question. What ministry are you fulfilling here in the local New Testament church? That's convicting, isn't it? What are you doing? Hey, listen, you get mad at me. I still love you, and I'm not trying to be mean. But you know what? I'll tell you, this is a sad testimony when a pastor has to stand up and he has to beg to get four men or four people out of his church, men or young men, to help to take a tent back. Brother Curran, we like you, but we're not so sure anymore. Hey, I'll guarantee you one thing, amen. If you'll get your heart right with God, amen, you won't be in opposition to the preaching, amen. Hey, listen, this church is plenty big enough. There ought to be four men. There ought to be four men, and there ought to be another, probably half a dozen on the waiting list that says, Pastor, if someone gets sick, I'll take that ride and take the tent back, amen. And listen, First Baptist Church ought to show up in full force tomorrow morning. But the problem is that so few are willing to really be in pursuit of the purpose of God. That's why we got so many Christians in churches all over America. They come to church, but they really have no idea what the purpose of God is. Listen, let me get this to you tonight. I don't care who you are in this tent. If you're here and you're saved, God has a purpose for you. Young lady over here, God's got a purpose for you. Man, God's got a purpose. Son, God's got a purpose for you. And He's got one for you. I'm not going to let you out. He's got one for you. And you and you. Ma'am, He's got one for you. Amen. He's got one for you, Brother Charlie. And you and you and you and you and you. Amen. He's got a purpose for you and you and you. God, brother, has a purpose for you. And for you too. He's got one for you, young man. He's got one for you. The little baby resting on mama's chest. God's got a purpose for that little baby. These little girls sitting here, God's got a purpose for you and you. Dad, God's got a purpose for you. Young man, 10 years old, Almighty God in heaven has a purpose for you. Dad, God's got a purpose for you and for you and you and you and you. Amen. And for you and 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 you. God's got a purpose for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you in the back. Amen. And if there's someone in the carriage, God's got a purpose for that little baby. To think that an Almighty God who made this earth would look down from heaven and consider us to be worthwhile to be used for His purpose. He's got one for you and for you. Daughter for you, wife for you. God's got a purpose for these precious kids over here, every one of them. And for you, sister, and for you, and you, and you. And God's got a purpose for you. Young man, God's got a purpose for you, amen. And for you, he's trying to get some sleep right now, amen. God's got a purpose for you. He's got one for you, for you, for you. Sister, for you. Brother, for you. Young lady, for you. Sister, he's got one for you. Brother, for you. And brother, for you. And anybody in the church house tonight, God's got a purpose for you. I don't want anybody to walk out here tonight and go home and say, honey, do you think that preacher was talking to me tonight? Yes! God's got a purpose for you tonight. Listen, it's an overwhelming thought to me to think that the Almighty God, amen, who made this earth, amen, and keeps it rotating on its axis, amen, that He would look down from heaven and even think something of any one of us enough to say, I'm going to include them in my divine plan and purpose, amen. Woo! What a God we have tonight. Say, Brother Carolyn, what do you reckon we need to do? Get in pursuit of the purpose of God for your life and fulfill it, amen. We got enough dead churches. We got enough people sleeping. We got enough status quo out there. We need a church somewhere to get revived, to come alive and fulfill the purpose of God on their lives, amen. Hey, listen, I said it before this week. I'm going to say it again. Time is almost out, my brothers. We are on the threshold tonight of the trumpet of God sounding, amen. Hey, listen, when He comes, praise the Lord, He ain't sending no substitute, amen. The Bible said for the Lord Himself, amen. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. As Brother Terry said earlier, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But oh, listen to me, I wonder what he's going to find when he comes. Church is full of people sitting around, hey, going through the motions, but not fulfilling the purpose of God. Brothers and sisters, hey, He's got a ministry for you. Find out what it is and go do it. Amen. And I want you to see this tonight. I believe Elisha was in pursuit of the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And I want you to turn back to 2 Kings, and I'm going to close right here. Get this now. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2, we read this in our opening text. I want to read it again very quickly and then draw this message to the conclusion tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass and the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. Watch this. Here's the requisition of the man of God. Elijah looks at Elisha and he says, Elisha, I want you just go ahead and stay here. Now, watch this. Elisha was not being disobedient. This was an opportunity and it was a test. He said, go ahead and stay here. And for the Lord sent me on to Bethel. I'm leaving Gilgal. I'm going on to Bethel. Watch this. And Elisha said unto him, watch this. Elisha says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I've keyed in on several messages on response. Here am I. Here I am. Amen. Remember on Samuel, some of you were here in Sunday school. By the way, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Sunday school. Huh? Did you get too many amens on that? But in my Sunday school message last week, I talked about this. How young Samuel yanked out of bed, sent back to bed, yanked out of bed, sent back to bed, yanked out of bed, sent back to bed. Every time he was jerked out of bed in the middle of the night, he said, here am I, here am I, here am I, here am I. Here am I, kind of like a broken record. No, his heart was in the right place. And his response didn't change. Now Elijah gives Elisha the opportunity to bail out. Get this now. He said, look, I'm leaving from Gilgal. I'm going to head on to Bethel. And you can just go ahead and stay here. And Elisha says, no, sir. He said, as the Lord liveth and as I still live, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Watch this now. Watch the response. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray for the Lord to send me to Jericho. Hey, from Gilgal to Bethel, now from Bethel to Jericho. He said, look, I'm fixing to leave Bethel now. I'm heading on to Jericho. Elisha, you just go ahead and you stay here. Stay with me, church. He has an opportunity at this point to say, well, you know what? I've stuck with the man of God. I stayed by the stuff. As a matter of fact, I could have stayed back at Gilgal, but I didn't. I left Gilgal. I did my job. I went on to Bethel. Stay with me now. And Elijah says, it's time for me to leave Bethel and go to Jericho. Go ahead and stay here. Elisha's got another opportunity. And the Bible says in verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee for the Lord to send me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You notice his response, Pastor Gilmore, never changed. Stayed the same. Man, I like that, amen. I like that conviction. Someone said that's called stick-to-itiveness, amen. Brother Terry couldn't find that in his dictionary, amen. Neither could I. But I like the word, amen. I mean, his response, you say, why did... Hey, listen, I like what the Bible says here in Isaiah 50, amen. I've set my face like a flint, amen. And I'm not going to move, amen. I'm not going to back up. I ain't going to give up. Amen. I ain't going to shut up. Amen. And verse 5 says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. By the way, I want you to look up here, everybody. Just look up here for a minute. I've talked about the persistence of Elisha tonight. Persistence. Say, what's that? It's about pressing on, amen? And Elisha was persistent. And I want you to know this tonight because you need to be prepared for this. If you, child of God tonight, are going to be persistent, if you're going to press on, know this. People will come alongside of you and try to discourage you. It's going to be somebody in the workplace. It's going to be somebody across the street. It may be some of your very own family. Oh, well, you're one of those Bible thumpers now. You go to that tent meeting every night? You go to church Sunday night too? And Wednesday night? You go soul winning? You run bus routes? You try to win little people, little kids to the Lord? Amen? You read your Bible every day? You pray all the time? Why, you're always at that church. People will try to discourage you. Notice, though, that discouragement may not always come from without the church. Notice who it was that tried to discourage Elisha, the sons of the prophets. I'm telling you that because there's going to be people that are Christians, some within the church, that may try to discourage you from doing right. They may try to hold you back. They may try to get you off track. They may try to get you to drop your standards and lower your quote-unquote convictions, that's what they are. Hey, watch this. The sons of the prophets tried to get him to get sidetracked. He tells them, just shut up. Amen. I know you don't say that you're a Christian, but I do. It's in the Bible, amen. The Bible says, shut up the book, amen. So I found it. Elisha told him, just touch your mouth, amen. For you Southerners, amen. So just be quiet. Hold your peace, amen. And watch what happens. The Bible says in verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Now watch as he tried to get him to hold back at Gilgal. But Elisha pressed on from Gilgal to Bethel. Tried to get him to hold back at Bethel. But he pressed on from Bethel to Jericho. Tried to get him to hold back at Jericho. But he's pressing on now from Jericho to Jordan. Amen. Elisha said, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And now I want us to pick up in closing. In verse 7, the Bible says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Church, look here for a minute. Do you realize that Elisha would have never had the golden opportunity to ask for this thing? He would never have been able to make this requisition if when he was back at Gilgal, he would have said, "All right, Elijah, I'll stay here." But he didn't. He said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And then he went on from Gilgal to Bethel. If he would have just gone ahead and stayed at Bethel, and it would have said, "All right, you know, I've gone the distance," he would have never came to this point where he would have been able to have the opportunity to make this request. But he went on from Bethel to Jericho. If when he got to Jericho, he would have said, "Well, you know, I've been faithful. I went from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, and this is far enough. I think this is where I'll get off." If he would have done that, he would have never went on to Jordan. Church, stay with me now. Because he was persistent. He was in pursuit. Amen. He didn't say, "I've done enough." He didn't say, "My service has been enough." He didn't say, "I've gone far enough for the Lord." He didn't say, "I've traversed side by side with the man of God far enough. This is where I get off. This is where I take my road of ease. This is where I relax." He was persistent and in pursuit. Amen. And now we find us here in our text at 2 Kings. And he says, "You ask whatever you want." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Watch in verse 10. He said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." You got to be kidding me. Game over. I'm done. I've stuck right with you, Elijah. I mean, I've gone with you all the way. Amen. Gilgal to Bethel. Bethel to Jericho, Jericho to Jordan. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. And then you tell me, "Ask whatever you want." So I ask whatever it is that I believe I ought to be asking. And now you tell me, "Oh, here's a little game and here's a twist in the game. If you get to see me when I'm gone, you'll get it. If not, sorry. See ya. See ya, Elijah. I ain't playing this stupid game anymore. This is where I turn around. This is where I get off." But watch this now. Oh, I love these words. Look at what the Bible says. And it came to pass, verse 11, as they still went on. Amen. Say, why? Why? Why didn't he turn around? Why didn't he give up? Why didn't he quit? I don't know, Christian. Why have you turned around? Why have you given up? Why have you quit? You say, I'm still a member here. Still come to church here. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? You being in pursuit of the power of God, the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God has not been indicated by your church attendance. There are millions of people who will fill up churches all over America. Some of them United Methodist churches that have sodomite women for their pastors. Listen, the power of God, the presence of God, and the purpose of God ain't being indicated in their life because they went to church, amen. There are people that will be in the quote-unquote Catholic church, amen. They don't even profess to be saved, amen. Coming to church has never been an indicator as to how much in pursuit you are of the presence of God and the power of God on your life and fulfilling the purpose of God. The Bible says it came to pass that they still went on. Verse 11 says, "And taught that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of horse of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw them no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw it, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." You say, "Brother Curlin, what happened?" He received the double portion, the double blessing, amen, that he was after, amen. Every Christian here tonight says, Brother Curran, that's what I want. Well, I'd like to have that. Man, I really would like to have that, Brother Curran. But I don't think it's available. I don't think God's blessings are available. I don't think an outpouring of the portion of God's Spirit and the power and the presence and purposes of God are going to be fulfilled. I don't believe that that's really going to happen. Why not? Hey, I don't know about you tonight, but I'll stand here and say this without any apprehension, without any reservation tonight, without any hesitation tonight. Elijah's God is my God, amen. Hey, the God of the past, and Elijah's God, the God of the past is the God of the present, amen. The God of the present is the God of the future. Yesterday's God is today's God, and today's God is tomorrow's God, amen. And He's still God, and He still can, amen. What we need tonight is for some men and women and young persons to rise up tonight and say, I'm going to be like Elisha was, and I'm going to be in pursuit of the presence of God, in pursuit of the power of God, and in pursuit of the purpose of God for my life. Pastor Gilmore, I'm going to ask you to come up here. Pastor Gilmore, would you stand right here in front of this pulpit? Church, I want you to look up here for a minute. Elisha stuck with the man of God. I believe God is tonight, and I know I am so sick and tired of every time I turn a corner and talk to another pastor. He's telling me about church members leaving. Well, they left and they did this. They decided to go on and do this. They decided to leave and go to this church or go here and do this and do that. I said, Brother Curlin, what are you trying to get at tonight? I'm trying to tell you tonight that we need some church members. We need some men and women and some young people tonight here at First Baptist Church who will rise up and say, man of God, Pastor, I love you. Pastor, I'm thankful for you. Pastor, I believe that you know what it is to be in the presence of God. Pastor, I believe that you know what it is to have the power of God on you. Pastor, I believe that you know what it is to be fulfilling the purpose of God. I want that, and I'm in pursuit of the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And Pastor, as thy soul liveth, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And as long as this man continues to preach the book, as he has so faithfully done all these many years, and uphold the Word of God, you people ought to join him today, and you ought to wrap arm in arm and say, Pastor, you're the man of God, and I believe with all of my heart that God has a purpose for this church, and He's got a purpose for my life. Pastor, I love you, and I will not leave thee. And the two went on, amen. And the two went on. And the two went on. And understand this tonight. Because of the persistence of Elijah, God mightily blessed him and mightily used him. Now, church, here's what you need to do tonight. You need to rise up. You need to say that Elisha's God is your God, and you are in pursuit of the presence of God, the power of God, and fulfilling the purpose of God. And then you need to join arm in arm with the man of God, your pastor, and say, Pastor, together we're going to go on and something mighty is going to happen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask his wife to come up here. Mrs. Gilmore, I'm going to ask you to stand right here beside the pastor. I want you to listen. Brother Kay, I'm going to ask you to come up here. I'm going to ask you to play a song tonight. Dear friends, I want you to know something tonight. We don't need any fakes. We don't need any phonies. But we do need some people say, you know what? I'm going on with you, Pastor. And the two went on. Just a moment, Brother Carey's going to play a song, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask for every man, every woman, every teenager, every young person tonight, members of this church or attenders here at this church, I'm going to ask you tonight, if you're willing tonight to commit and purpose in your heart to going on with the man of God, I'm going to ask you men to come up here and put your arms around your pastor and say, Pastor, I love you. I'm going on with you. I'm going to ask you ladies to come up here, put your arms around Pastor's wife, and I'm going to ask you to tell her, I love you, I love our pastor, and we're going on together. And the two went on. Dearly beloved, can I tell you something? It doesn't take a genius to look around and to realize that we are in desperate needs and desperate times. Where is the light? Where is the old lighthouse in Easton, Pennsylvania? Many are dying without Christ and without hope. Church, look up here. Look at me, church. I know who you are tonight, but God knows who you are tonight. The time of sitting back and resting on your laurels is over. It's time for this church to rise up tonight and to move forward like you've never moved forward before. It's time for this church to get it together, and it's going to take commitment on your part. It's not up to me, and it's not up to your pastor. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's not the pastor's job anymore. It is the job of the people. Amen. This is the work of the Lord, but get this now. It's your work. It's your church. If I came to you and said, where do you go to church? You'd say, First Baptist Church in Easton. It's your work. Amen. Get with the man of God tonight. Be in pursuit of the presence of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. And the two went on. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you tonight to help these dear people, these men and women that have assembled themselves tonight under this tent. Lord, I pray that they might wrap their arms around the man of God tonight. Lord, I pray that they might make a commitment to you and to their pastor, and Mrs. Gilmore, that they're going on together, Lord. And I pray that you might send this church forth tonight with a renewed sense of purpose and a renewed vision, and Lord, with power, unlike anything they've seen in recent years. Lord, I pray tonight this church would become such a shining light to the community around it, and that everyone would do their part, Lord. And they would say, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. Help them, Lord, tonight to make that commitment in Jesus' name. And amen. I want you people to come tonight. The aisle's already filled up. Brother Terry, play a song. And the two went on. And the two went on. You know what you're committing to tonight, sister and brother. I want you men to tell your pastor you love him and you're going on with him. But don't you come and get in this line tonight if you don't mean business for God. Listen, the Lord doesn't need any fakes and phonies. He needs some women to say, well, this work is going to begin to explode under the power of. And the two went on. Terry, I'm going to ask you for just a minute to hold off on the song. And I want everybody, we're going to sing a song a cappella right now. I believe some of you know that. How many know I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God? Let's sing that together. Let's just sing it. Let's sing it a cappella tonight. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Let's sing that again. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Father in heaven, I ask you tonight in Jesus' name to consider that which has been committed tonight by these dear people. Lord, I pray for Pastor and Mrs. Gilmore. And Lord, I'm going to ask you tonight, as I pray for my dear brother and pray for this pastor, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would touch his body. Lord, I pray that you would undertake on his behalf, Lord, and for his infirmities, Father. Father, I'm asking you tonight to remove them, and I'm asking you to give him a miracle healing tonight. And God, I pray to a God tonight who is able to heal our diseases. If you can forgive our iniquities, you can heal all of our diseases, and you said that you can. I pray to the great physician tonight, Father. I ask in faith, nothing wavering tonight, Lord, that you would touch his body and that you'd begin to rid him, Lord, and to cure him of some of the sicknesses. And Lord, on the inside of his body, even many things that no one sees that have plagued him, Lord, and have just stripped him of his strength, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd touch his body and you begin to put back on him your strength and your healing, Father. Give him the power that he needs to go on and to do the task at hand. And Lord, I thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for his dear wife, Lord, and the way she sticks by the man of God. And Lord, I pray that you would touch both of them. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight to give both of them a new and a fresh oil and a fresh anointing. I pray that Pastor Gilmore's preaching would be with new fire and new power from on high. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them even a greater vision, Lord, and a greater burden for the work here in the weeks and months and years ahead, Lord. And give them strength for the journey, Lord, and health, Lord, to travel on this way that you've set them on. And then, Lord, I pray for these dear people. Lord, I pray that they would rally around their pastor in a way, Lord, that maybe has never been seen since the beginning of this church, Father. I pray, Lord, and I know that the devil is going to attack in days that are in front of us, Lord. I know the devil hates what's happening here this week. He despises what's taking place tonight. Let the people be on guard. And Lord, when they see things that they may perceive as negative, let them just be fierce in the face of Satan and say, God before us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And though the devil will attack, we will persist on. And the two went on. Lord, I pray that you take this body of believers and that you'd raise it up, Lord, to a new level, Lord. And I pray that you take this ministry to new heights, Father. And oh God, I pray that you'd use it mightily. Now help these people to band together and to go forward and to sing onward, Christian soldiers marching us to war with the cross of Jesus. Lord, I pray now that you would help these people to go on together for the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. We'll thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you have done, for what you've done this day, and that which you will do in the future. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.